Hi, this is Steve Peters, and you're listening to Inspirato Projecto.
Thank you, Steve Peters from Mesmer & Braid, for stopping by to say hello. By the way, I'm going to put that episode where I interview Steve Peters and Nick Tierce, the masterminds behind the alternate reality game, or is it, called Mesmer & Braid, and this is tied in with the app called Hollow Vista. Brilliant, brilliant idea for an app. I think you'd really get a kick out of it. I did a review of that app. But Mesmer & Braid is a very fun alternate reality game. And if you look at the pictures of the employees in there, you will see me up there. I'm happy to say that I am on that page. I'm very, very pleased. They had a participatory aspect to it. So I like to think that that's kind of like what this podcast is about, a participatory experience. So that was Steve Peters. Coming up this episode, we're going to have Henry D. Horse give us a fun fact. We're going to talk about the Keep Calm Jamboree that Yachtly Crew was scheduled to play at. And this was on 4/21/2023. Wow, Jennifer, April 1st, April Fool's Day. Interesting, April Fool's Day. So, yeah, you will hear that. She gives us a tour, the nice woman there gives us a tour, Yachtly Crew, the band, the world's most humble band. Our humility tops the charts. The world's most, the intergalactic's most humble band. We smashed the competition. And the nation's favorite yacht rock band, Yachtly Crew. So, we have the accolades to prove that we are the most humble. Nobody beats us in that department. So we get a little walk around this phenomenal, they call it a zoo. It's called the California Living Museum, really. It's a sanctuary for animals that have been harmed, run over. You will hear some of these stories. They're shocking. And you will learn some things about raccoons. Rocky raccoon. That you probably didn't realize you knew before. Or maybe you didn't know it. You're going to hear this and you're going to go, I think you will know when that moment is, because we're all very surprised to hear it. Or at least I was. So one or the other, we all were surprised to hear it, or maybe just I was. So we're also going to have a special guest from the Varels Bridge Society stop by. And I will also put my interview, and I will put up that interview with a couple of those rapscallions from Christor Inc. and the Varels Bridge Society. I'll put that up there, that video link. So anyway, hang on to your hats for a new episode of Inspirato Projecto.
Here's your fun fact. Dogs are about as smart as a 2 or 3 year old child. This means they can understand about 150 to 200 words, including signals and hand movements with the same meaning as words. Stay tuned to Inspirato Projecto for more fun facts.
Poisonous. Do you guys know the difference between venomous and poisonous?
No.
That's gnarly.
It's the way it interacts with your body.
And it's how it's given to your body. So if somebody injects venom into you, so you've got snakes that have fangs, right? They inject the venom. If you touch something and you secrete it, that's poisonous. Or if you choose to drink poison, right? You've ingested that. So you've got like poisonous toads where you touch them and you're soaking in some of those things, whereas venom is injected into you. So snakes are venomous.
That's the Northern Pacific rattlesnake problem.
That is.
This art in here.
Venomous or poisonous?
Yeah,
I feel like I'm avoiding
this art in here is phenomenal.
These guys are pretty horrible to the environment.
Who would have thought we'd see both like a zoo-ish type of thing and also an art gallery in the process?
Oh, yeah, so Minami is phenomenal. If you see the mural at the playground up there, we were given a grant through one of our behavioral health teams. We got a grant to put paint murals all over Bakersfield. And they said, well, we want to tie in nature and all of that. So they donated the mural up there. And I said, I love your work. Let's blast some color in here.
Wow.
So she's gone through
that was
all of
such
the
a good idea.
And, yeah, just something fun. She took pictures of all the animal scales and then blew them up. So that's what the pillars are.
Oh!
Yeah, so if you look at that one, you can see there's a rattlesnake on that pillar. That's the actual end of the
rattlesnake.
You tie in their scales.
Brilliant. Last time I was here, I read this whole history. I was just completely fascinated about this.
Yes. Al Robbins.
Al Robbins.
Did all of these different things. So we've got a couple different things on this side. Our lizards. We also have a deer mouse. I believe our deer mouse's story was pretty cute. She's actually from Northern California.
So
she
had
to put her in her pocket on the
like
flight to get her here. But that's kind of how she came to be, because normally we wouldn't have taken that species.
So when the deer mouse is born, I know you hear this all the time, but are they born with the antlers on their head, or do those develop after?
I don't think they have antlers.
That would hurt.
It would.
My favorite is Nubbins. I need to find her. She's over here. She's back over here. So our Nelson antelope squirrel, her name is Nubbins. She has no paws, which is why she has nubs, and her name is Nubbins.
I'm not sure
if she's out yet or not, but she's super adorable.
Squirrel.
Wow.
So the snakes basically look at these rodents and like, I want to eat you.
They see them from across the way, yeah.
They get plenty of their own.
Jeez. I bet you once that art went in there, it really brightened up the spirits of these animals.
It did.
You see that there right there?
What's this? What are these?
So we are celebrating our 40th anniversary this year. So one of the things you'll see as we go throughout the zoo, I started in 2020, and one of my goals is to really brighten up the zoo, kind of give it some facelifts. And then at our birthday, we are revealing our master plan for the next 20 years. So we spent a year and said, where are we going to grow? How are we going to expand? We have 40 acres to the west that we're going to be expanding, and then plans for another 25 acres to the east. Our new enclosures are going to include larger animals, wolves, grizzly bears, brown bear, expansion of our condors as well, so event pavilion. So hopefully in about 10 years when you guys come back out to play, we'll have a 1,000 to 2,000 seat pavilion that has indoor and outdoor.
What? Incredible.
That is also on the plan.
Incredible. Can we live stream to the animals so they can see the show as well? Like put little screens in there for them.
Music.
Oh, that's great.
Right,
your dog's size.
Gets us to the raccoon as soon as Rob, this is Rob if you haven't met.
Hello.
What's up? And Keith.
Hello.
He
I'm Stony Shores. Pleasure to meet you.
Stony, how are you?
Good to see
Tommy.
You.
Tommy, right?
Hold on.
Alex.
Said hi.
Alex?
Yep.
Is
yes.
that you, right?
Yes, Alex with two X's.
Oh, wow.
Thank you.
Did I get the whole team? Okay.
Double X.
Did your parents do that or did you do that?
My parents did it.
Really? That's really cool.
My mom did.
Your
she liked
are cool.
the medic lady on CSR Miami.
Yeah.
And then when she was looking at the closed captions, it said Alex with two X's. And she's like, you know what? That's what you are. I'm like, okay.
That's great.
I was like three. I was like,
yeah. Please don't rock the boat.
This is Jordan.
Like
hey.
Oh, we got some brewery.
Yeah, so I'll drink some yet tonight. Tumblr is sponsoring this with
I have a tortoise.
Do you?
I have a Russian tortoise.
There you go.
That we found in my backyard.
A Russian?
Oh, wow. So we have several tortoises.
Hello, I'm a Russian.
Juvenile tortoises over here. You have females on this side and males on the other side. So one random fun fact about tortoises is they actually will hold in, so if they get it on, they'll actually hold in their semen for up to 10 years and then decide to lay their eggs whatever is convenient when the environment is good and all those kinds of things.
Interesting.
So if you have one tortoise that's hanging out with another tortoise, you can expect to have babies for a long time.
Whoa.
So that is where our juveniles have come in.
So what are the differences between a tortoise and a turtle?
Tortoise and a turtle, there's several different things, but if you look at the shells, obviously where they go to, these tortoises cannot swim. You stick them in water, they are going to sink.
Oh, no.
Yes. So, tortoises are, these are desert tortoises, they are more terrestrial.
But they're amphibious though, right? They can like still be, like they have to be in water somehow, right?
They just drink water. They don't need to go, the tortoises
so
do not go in water.
So these are just roaming around the desert and then...
Interesting.
Yeah, the amphibious side of like that, we have western pond turtles, and those guys will swim. Your red-eared sliders, those kinds of guys are made for the water. Tortoises are not.
Are these like the same tortoises that you'll find out at the reservation in Cal City?
They should be. They should be desert tortoises.
I love seeing them out there.
Do you spend a lot of time in Cal City?
I go off-roading out there.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
So we won't have to do that now.
She owns a monster truck.
Oh my god.
If Tom's in the petting zoo, we'll go say hi to Tom.
Let's do it.
Oh, she's out there. She's my favorite.
Let's do it.
Yeah. Oh.
This is just so dreamy. So dreamy.
First they forget my name, then they name a donkey after me.
All right, so we've got a couple of geriatric guys here. You'll see Napoleon in the back corner over there. He decided a couple weeks ago to break his horn off. So he is now a unicorn and has been kind of quarantined over here. Tom, come here, buddy.
Unicorantine.
So Tom came to us. She was a rescue, somebody, we don't share this story with the public, but she was actually left at our doorstep. Very overweight, very undercared for, and kind of shoved into this kennel. And so we said, well, let's get her healthy, let's see what we can do, let's rehome her if we can. And we fell in love with her. So now she's part of our collection.
Love that.
Are you not going to come say hi?
Did you say that
the
chick was overweight?
She was extremely overweight, like belly touching the ground, dragging the ground.
Oh, wow.
So
no.
We got her back to health, got her hooves trimmed. Her hooves were, they're supposed to be about this long. They were about this long.
Oh, wow.
So she could walk
perfectly. Do you put them on a little treadmill?
We changed her diet significantly. She gets lots of healthy things. I would love for you to come say hi. You get belly scratches when you do that. We had so many kiddos today, so she's probably over it. We've got the boys over here, who's going to let you have some right there. We've got the
last one. Oh, no. Oh, no.
Right on the rail?
Yeah, second, was that the weirdest thing?
Okay.
And a donkey.
And a donkey.
All right, Clorox wipes to the donkey exhibit.
Guys, where's your phone now?
Sure you
want to
leave on the rail?
He's taking pictures around. That's a natural occurrence.
Yeah, I got it, Rob. I got it on video.
This is nature in action.
I got it on video.
We have Peggy as in Pegasus on the far corner.
Pegasus.
It's really sweet, but she's a little nippy, so we don't have her out to the public. But she does this gate when we are closed. Public is usually open, and she has access to both sides.
Peggy the Pegasus.
I love it.
My six-year-old daughter would love that.
Six is fun.
So fun.
Pegasi deserve a lot more attention now.
Like
you know, we've heard.
Four and six, I'm like, oh, this is a good time.
Yeah. Totally
got it. Oh,
yeah.
Look at
Clover and Ivy over here.
Clover and who?
Clover and Ivy.
Clover and Ivy. Look at those goats.
The raccoon is right around the corner, I promise.
Egads. This is great. Thank you for this private tour. This is fantastic.
We're so glad that you guys are here.
Before everybody shows up and...
It gets loud and...
Yeah. It's cool.
I've only seen raccoons in person once, and that was like in Florida in the middle of the night.
Oh.
I was supposed to go to Florida after we left Vegas. I was supposed to leave from Vegas to Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And down the street was this petting zoo that had a raccoon named Chubbly.
Ooh, hello, Chubbly.
Chubbly. Very sweet raccoon. It's my friend. It was, well, it's not friend. It's like a close friend. And she owns the petting zoo. And the raccoon was like, she's had Chubbly since
little baby.
And it like latched on to her. It's really cute.
It's awesome.
I know. So if I go to Florida, I'm going to pet one.
Dear Chubbly.
We don't know how he did it.
Is this the skate park for the animals?
We have shorebirds over here, but are you guys familiar with HPAI? Have you guys heard of that?
No.
So remember when eggs skyrocketed to like $9 a dozen, $12 a dozen?
Oh, yeah.
So that is caused by, it's called HPAI. It's highly pathogenic avian influenza. So it came to us from Europe, bird flu essentially, but it crossed through Europe and has devastated the ecosystems across the world.
Oh, geez.
It's found in birds primarily. They've also found it in mammals. So we had mountain lions as well that were found with it, seal species, porpoise species, things like that. So we had to move all of our animals out into special enclosures to make sure that they are not exposed. It gets exposed through fecal matter and all of that. So when you found with your eggs, if they find one bird in a poultry farm that has it, they cull the entire.
Oh, no.
And you can't use the meat. You can't use the eggs. So Pennsylvania was hit where all of their chicken farms were cut down and all their animals were culled when they found one. And so that's what skyrocketed our prices for eggs. So this is Cinnamon and Louie. They are black bears. Even though Cinnamon is brown, he is a black bear. These guys are in their 20s.
Wow.
Up to 30-ish.
It's incredible.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the squirrel. Wait, just hanging
which
out
one's
there.
The black bear, the light one?
They are both considered black bears. So Cinnamon is a cinnamon-colored black bear, but they are both considered black bear.
Incredible.
Yes. So these boys did not come in here together. They actually came separately. Cinnamon was first, and as the story goes, I was not here for it, but as the story goes, it took him a minute to get be okay with Louie. They were in separate dens and they were kind of just sassy to each other. And then one day they decided, all right, you're all right. And now they're inseparable. They'll lay together, they aww. Sleep together, they share aww. Everything together. But they are sweethearts.
That's cool.
In the shade, see?
I love it.
Are they one's male, one's female?
They're both males.
Oh, they're both males?
Yeah.
What
is
their name?
Cinnamon
saying,
and
hanging
out.
Cinnamon
and he's like, hey, what's going on?
Our squirrels in here are the fattest squirrels. Because they have their own little closed ecosystem and they eat all of the food that the bears eat.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, look how fat he is.
He must be so happy.
Oh, holy fuck, yeah. You didn't see me there.
Ursus americanus.
Fuck, I thought that was a rock on top of a rock.
A new species of squirrel.
A rock with ears.
They are chubby, to say the least. And they're too big for birds to pick them up. It's a movable rock. All right. One more enclosure
kind of
and then your reckoning is coming.
Oh boy.
I'm sorry, say that again.
What kind of food do they put out for bears?
Several different things. Fruits, occasional meats here and there. We actually have a campaign going right now for people to bring in their fresh catches from the river. So they'll bring
ooh.
In fish.
Uh-huh. Ooh.
And then they also eat a variety of kind of grains and things like that.
I think the river's pretty right
busy.
Now.
Go for Mike.
Wow, that looks great.
Hey, Mineral Ice just came in. Are we going to direct them over to the bear area?
Yeah, if you can direct them that way, please. And then, Jordan, did you copy that?
Ooh, a coyote.
All right, so we have two coyotes in here.
Oh,
we have
so cute.
Oh,
folks are here. Would you mind meeting them over by the beer tent for me? Just seeing
look
what we can troubleshoot for that freezer.
Headed that way.
You're fantastic, thank you. So this is Zuko, and if you look at the very far back there, that is Sandy.
Oh, is he like Danny?
Danny Zuko and Sandy, yes. So Zuko's been with us. He came, I didn't explain to you guys, but we have a wildlife rehabilitation program. We are one of the only programs in this area that do wildlife rehabilitation. So Zuko came to us through that program. He was one who became way too friendly and was the rest of his pack was like released back into the wild and he was like, I'm solid, we can hang out for forever, so we're gonna stay. Sandy, on the other half, came into us about 2 years ago. She had been shot in the face with buckshot.
Oh, no.
She has one eye that's gonna be enucleated. She can't open it. And then she had about 8 or 9 BBs that were in her head.
Oh my God.
So she was actually raised by our team. She was raised in my office upstairs. At one point, we had my dog hanging out with her, our curator's dog hanging out with her, kind of teaching her how to dog. And then she joined Zuko about a year and a half ago. So she'll be staying with us until the end of her until she decides to age out. So
can these, what do you mean they age out?
They die. That's the phrase we use in these. That's okay. They that's our nice term to say.
Like
they decided to age out.
Band Menudo, when you're 17, you're out of here.
No.
They aged out.
They age out and move on.
So
to the next
can these, all these animals mate? That are, they're like female.
So we do spay and neuter all of our animals, unless they're in what we call a species survival program. So we have our bighorn sheep who are part of a breeding program because they're endangered in our western pond turtles that are also part of that program. We do work with other zoos to transfer animals for breeding on occasion.
Right.
But our goal is we have animals that are common. We don't typically breed those.
Right. But how would you even spay and neuter a turtle? That's going to be a tough surgery.
So those can be actually separated. You see inside their enclosure. That doesn't happen.
That's a good observation. I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah, I'm like,
how do you get inside of that?
Sorry, I'm the one that asked the weird questions.
Oh, what is a raccoon?
Ooh.
Alex, that is Ninja.
Ninja, awesome.
Ooh, the island fox.
No way.
So chubby.
Oh my goodness.
Oh my god, I'm literally
look at
there you go. So that is Ninja.
Oh my gosh. Ninja knows how much you love raccoons.
She's speaking to you. Oh my
god. I love it.
Guys are so cool.
Oh.
So a couple different animals in here outside of the raccoon whom we love. Raccoons are fantastic animals. If you look to your left, you're going to see Dash. He's a San Joaquin kit fox. He's working. Oh. He's living with our coati. So coatis are native to South America, but Ginger came to us through, and somebody moved to California and didn't realize they weren't allowed to have coatis here. So we decided to take her in. Dash was raised with us since he was about 4 weeks old, and when he was put with the other San Joaquin kit foxes, he decided he didn't know how to fox and doesn't do quite well with that. So we have him. He's super friendly, and he and Ginger are best buds in there.
Wow!
But you'll see him kind of chittering at the front. We have two enclosures with San Joaquin kit foxes. San Joaquin kit foxes are critically endangered.
Really?
And they are only native to the San Joaquin Valley area here. So one of the things that Calm does, when one of the reasons outside of losing their habitat that they are becoming endangered is something called sarcoptic mange. It's a really deadly mange that will actually get into their skin and it kills them. It's a slow way to basically eat their skin and drive them crazy and they'll pass away. So the Endangered Species Recovery Program does this really great thing. Well, they'll capture these guys, bring them here. It's completely treatable. It takes about 3 weeks to a month, depending on what stage you're at. They get treated here and they get returned back to their den sites.
Oh, nice.
So the work with ESRP is really bringing their numbers back up here, which is fantastic.
Is that why they're not here?
Or
are they here?
We have a couple in here.
Oh, they're here? Oh.
Ian, who do we have on the side, Ian?
Daisy the gray fox, Atana the island fox.
Who's our kit
over here? How did that guy get in the cage?
Who is this? This is Frank Ant here.
And then, yeah, Ninja Kawadi, or Ninja Ginger. Gash.
Wait, so you were standing here the whole time?
Yeah, I'm quiet.
Dude!
Oh, he's right here.
We can do that typical, like, and then this is an Ian. He's
yeah. Like that Twilight Zone episode, right? Where they open up the thing and it's like, these are humans. That's great.
I've even gotten good at digging a hole quietly.
Yeah, he's cool.
So, yeah, that is Ginger.
That is great.
He's from the family.
Oh, yeah.
Go to Wounded.
He was looking right at you.
So, Pauly, do you think they put those? Do you think they put those coatis on Pilates? There's a coati.
Whoa!
Coati Pilates. Yeah. Are you crying tears of joy, Alex?
Yes.
I knew it.
Alex, is your heart so happy?
Yes.
Good. So my favorite raccoon story that might make your heart happy is I worked at a wildlife rehabilitation when I interned after college, and we had an entire room filled with baby raccoons. They're all in their little enclosures. One of the interns overnight forgot to clip the bottom.
Oh dear.
So I walk in my shift, and there are 30 baby raccoons running.
Oh my gosh!
And I just opened the door and I looked and I took a breath and I walked up and I closed it up. This is
my God.
So I spent about a day having to capture all these baby raccoons, weigh them, make sure they were with the right litter mates. We didn't tag them. Very special gloves. You put gloves on and a lot of times you attend.
I bet you would have loved that job.
You hold their claws, they don't scratch you.
That's cool.
Sometimes they do scratch you. You just got them underneath and go hold it all.
That little dude is just totally talking to us.
The woodpecker.
That is
Oh my gosh.
The woodpecker.
Rudy, not Woody?
Ruby.
That's so cool.
Wow.
So cool to see him up close.
Yeah.
She did all those bowls on the...
You don't see him up close.
Wow.
That's how they get their food in the future. They hook all the things and get their worms out of them.
They store it in there?
No, they'll pull it out from there. Yeah, they just eat it.
Oh, they eat the wood?
They eat the worms inside of the wood. So she's looking for worms.
Oh.
And bugs and grubs.
Worms in the woods.
So these are our black-tailed mule deer. We have two males and two females. The males are castrated.
These the ones you see in Yosemite?
No. They might have, actually, I'm not sure if they're or not. I'm all wait a second. I think about like elk. There's elk and things like that in Yosemite. Like the
big males
ones.
Have the antlers.
I'm sorry?
The males have the antlers.
The males have the antlers. These guys have wonky antlers.
Is that because they're castrated?
They might be white tails. I'm not sure. So our guys have wonky antlers. They came to us from another program who, after they were castrated, they were given testosterone to have their antlers grow back.
Oh,
and it
cool.
just didn't really work out the way they wanted it to, so they stopped that. So they've got some wonky antlers.
Yeah, but you see the balls that grew back.
Those did not come back. Just the attitude that comes back.
Man, they can hear you, Rob.
Sorry.
So,
what?
I want to find out the answer.
Sorry.
We've got two females in here. We have Juniper and Beatrix, and they were raised also in my office. Our office is upstairs. They were babies. They were bottle fed here.
So cool.
Normally, we don't take in here, but there was a disease happening with other rehabs, and so we were asked to keep them.
It's great.
Oh my God, look how cute this is.
Oh no, he's missing part of his jaw. I was just reading the sign here about radar.
I want to find out the buck here.
Oh, no.
This one's missing the jaw?
No.
This one, radar.
So, you asked me about the black-tailed mule deer in Yosemite, right?
Oh, yeah, Paulie.
Yes, you are right. I am wrong. So, there's two different species. There's the Colombian black-tailed mule deer and the Pacific Northwest.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Something. Oh. I was like, I said no quickly. And I was like, I don't think that's right. So anyway, he actually broke his jaw, Radar did. But
over
he's
here.
Yes, down here. So he's got this little funky jaw, the guy that has the little longer antler up there.
Mm-hmm.
He broke his jaw, but he is solid. He eats all of his food, no problem. He just looks a little wonky. You're welcome to pet Juniper if she gets up. Are you going to say hi?
Oh my gosh. How sweet.
They're super, super sweet. You're not going to get up, your baby.
She's
like, why would I do that?
She's
like,
you
think
about this?
Hang on.
So cute.
Oh.
Got him?
Getting it. I like the way you think.
Oh dear.
Oh dear. Oh dear. Oh dear.
Jesus. Is okay on time?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. That's what we got a crew for.
I'm actually going to go start organizing all the rest stuff. Thank you so much.
Alex, it was wonderful.
Thank you for inspiring this, Alex.
I'm so glad. All right, so we have our wrapped around over here, as well as a badger to your left. So these are two golden eagles. We have Amber and Jasper in here.
Ooh. Ooh.
If you look right here, this is Scruggs.
Cool.
He is an American badger.
You don't give a shit. He's not a honey badger.
Badgers in general are very similar to how honey badgers are. They are feisty. So Scruggs' story is actually really interesting. He came to us from, I think, Monterey. He was hit by a car, and he was on the table to be euthanized because he wasn't waking up. They figured he was gone. On the table, he decided he would wake up and was like, just kidding, I'm solid.
Oh, my
gosh.
And
ended up joining our collection from another rehab center.
I'm so glad he
was tricking them.
It is turned on at night. We have a hot wire at night to ensure that other animals don't reach in and eat them. Alex is not here. Raccoons are crazy, and they will actually tear animals apart through fences.
Oh, jeez.
I don't want to break her heart. So they're super sweet. We love them. They're also like, they will
tear
things up. So we have mitigation to make sure animals don't get taken. If a bird were to sleep here,
That's crazy.
Don't tell Alex. They're all really sweet.
No, I won't tell her that. Oof. That's right.
Man, that was perfect timing.
That was awesome.
Look at the claws.
He's like, hey, did you see that?
What are they called, talons?
They're called talons, yes.
You're welcome.
Everybody. He's like, I could work here. If this whole band doesn't work out.
Yeah.
Turkey vulture.
Dude, there's turkey vultures all over. I was at Lauren's, like, because her dad, Meg, lives. You can probably see his house up there.
Wow.
Anyhow, that was right over there. And on the drive over, there was probably like 40 of
turkey vultures.
Just a vulture, like, or are they different?
There are different kinds of vultures. So this is a turkey vulture.
This is the one you see, like, eating all the shit on the side of the road?
Yes, they are carrion. They eat carrion, which is considered, like, roadkill and things like that.
Turkey vulture.
Carrion.
They call them turkey vultures because their face looks like a turkey?
I'm not really sure, actually.
Well, they actually gobble. They go...
It'd be crazy if they did. All right, we got several different...
What's that? Red tail hawk?
We've got several different falcons in here, as well as Tina, our porcupine, but she's probably in her burrows in the back. We call her Tina Turner.
You call her Tina Turner?
Her name is Tina, so she got that kind of crazy hair.
I love it.
So how much do you guys think those eagles weigh up there?
I'm going to say that one weighs about 35 pounds.
You thinking? What do you think? 50 pounds? How much do you think that golden eagle weighs over there?
68 pounds.
So the max weight for most eagles, larger species, is 15 pounds. What? They're anywhere from 8 to 15 pounds.
Holy cow.
So they're all feathers. Their bones are actually hollow.
Oh,
so
what?
You'll look at that and be able to see.
Right.
You need to have a lot of lighted weight to be able to dive the way that they do.
Interesting.
So they look really big. They look really hefty. And they're usually about 8 to 15 pounds, depending on the species.
Wow. Whoa.
So our birds right now are displaying some nesting behavior. So they'll be kind of up in the... They're not nesting, but this is the time of the year where they would nest.
So they can all... habitat together?
They can, yeah. If you look at the top right corner, you're going to see a peregrine falcon.
Ooh.
So peregrine falcons are one of the fastest bird species in the world. They can dive up to 200 miles per hour.
Wow.
That's right. They formed the bomber after the shape of the peregrine falcon.
Yep, that's a great fact for that. So peregrine falcons and several other falcon species almost went completely extinct due to DDT. That's one of the reasons DDT, it's a pesticide that was used, is banned all over the world. Yeah. So DDT actually got into the water systems, got into the fish systems. And what they were finding when they were laying their eggs is it actually created a very thin egg. So they'd go to sit on their eggs and they'd smush them. So the old wives' tale of don't touch a baby bird's nest because mama won't come back is completely false. Birds have a terrible sense of smell. So what scientists did is they actually took those eggs from several different species, peregrine falcon being one of them, put them in incubators, placed them back with placebo eggs, and then once the eggs hatch, they replace them back with mama birds. So a lot of our birds will be male and females will both take care of the nest. And so there's a lot of work that had to be done to be able to make sure that was happening. But scientists came through and actually saved several
birds.
That's
amazing. That's like the Indiana Jones thing where he tries to put the sand
they
on there.
They switch it.
Yeah.
Wow, that's
I would
never put that together.
So if you ever wonder why pesticides and things that are terrible to the world, that is why.
That's incredible.
So these are our California condors.
Whoa.
These guys are a little bit heftier. They eat carrion, so they'll eat dead animals and things like that.
How heavy do you think those are?
I'll tell you right now. No, they are 17 to 25 pounds, but these boys are on the heavier side.
Oh, wow, these are really imperiled, huh?
Yes, so these guys are critically endangered. At one point, I believe there was only about 30 of them left in the wild. So what was done is a lot of folks from San Diego Zoo was one of the primary folks that did that. They captured several of them from the wild, and they are their breeding program has been very successful to be able to return them back to the wild.
Great.
So that is something that has been done over the last, I want to say, 40 years.
So why were they endangered? Were hunters targeting them or anything?
It's a mix. So some of it was some of that DDT poisoning. Some of it was loss of habitat, as well as hunting and things like that.
Why does that one have a racing number
he's
on
Kobe,
it?
So they are
he's
all part, they it's 24 and 50, and I think there's like a number in front of that as well, but they were part of the program. Major. So not of the 30 of that program itself. They both actually failed out of that program in terms of they were released and they kept coming back where they shouldn't have come back. I don't remember if it was 24 or 50, but they kept finding them at like dumpsters and like going up to people and like taking stuff from people. They were way too friendly. They are extremely curious, super cool boys, but... they both, and the other one I think kept traveling back to an area he wasn't supposed to, so after several times of trying to relocate them. There you go, buddy. Are you going to come down and say hello? They have a 9.5-foot wingspan.
Whoa.
So that's how big that is on that sign right there. That is as far as wide as we are. Yeah.
How old are
Lauren,
you first?
I can tell you right now.
I want to see if my wingspan is.
I was just curious.
Let's see your wingspan, Tommy.
I mean, he thinks he's 9.5.
Yeah. Look at him.
Wow, they got me beat.
Oh,
dude.
No.
He's almost got him.
So close.
Tommy is the condor of the group.
The big
donkey.
No, that's right. That's right. That's right.
So, I mean, take solace in that. Yeah.
It's accurate. I can't
better be a
Commodore condor.
How can they reproduce, too?
That's a great question.
America.
So this is Spirit. She is 33, that I do know.
Ooh.
She's one of our older girls.
Wow.
She is the bald.
Ooh.
Hey, have you heard
She's like, look at that profile.
There's a pair of mom and dad with a nest.
Are they nesting up there?
Yes.
We had, last year they had their, sorry. Go ahead.
Look at his posture. He's got good posture.
22 and 24 just turned 19. There you go.
She's like, look at,
thank you so very much.
Look at that.
All right, so we got condors are 22 and 19.
Oh.
22 and 19.
Marco, Dwight was headed back.
Yeah, so we had them up here as well. And we just lost our other eagle, but they would chitter back and forth.
Oh, that's funny.
And do their whole thing.
So, like right around Tony Moreno that lives there, he goes there. What's the
eagle cost? We did not, I'm sorry, we did not purchase the eagle. So,
he's like, I want to buy one.
I'd like one.
Critically illegal. A lot of permitting that has to go through with that. And the other fun fact with eagles is that they came through our wildlife rehabilitation program. And we'll go through other different rehabs and things like that to keep them. But she, as you can see, is feared is missing an eye.
Oh, no.
But when we do get animals through our rehab program, they're actually offered to the Native Americans first.
I love it.
And those programs first, based off of, you know, their history and obviously different laws and things like that. And so if they aren't placed with Native Americans, tribes, and then we have the ability to place them here if we need to, if they can't be released.
I see. Oh, interesting.
All right. We have a couple more stops.
Fascinating.
Yeah, Tony goes over like six times a day, Meg, and he like watches them and like watches how like they keep watch over the nest. Like the mom and the dad never leave the nest.
They are monogamous, yeah. So eagles are monogamous. They're life pairs.
Oh,
so if you lose one, that's pretty much it. They won't, typically won't, unless they're really, really young, won't find another mate. They pretty much just say, I love my love, and that is all I love. Oh. So,
right, but also super protective. Like
they are fantastic.
One of the parents, you know, is always stays on the nest. So if one goes to forage, the other stays on the nest, and then they switch back
that.
And forth. Yeah,
they take co-parenting to the extreme.
I think. They do. So cool. Like Tony's been putting. Do you follow Tony on?
No.
Okay, so he lives right. He lives right here, and so he like almost every day has a picture of eagles and them taking care of the nest. It's
cute. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
It's fascinating when you learn about the behaviors of these animals and the ways that they interact with each other, and how you find in humans they have little pieces of these various animals in their own life.
My darling daughter is an anthropology major.
Oh, cool.
And when she went to Walt Disney World this in January, she's like, Mom, they were doing this study, and I don't remember what it was. But whatever it was is the same study they do in their anthropology class. So she's like, I'm gonna see if I can go transfer back there and do anthropological work at
Disney.
At the Animal Kingdom at Walt Disney World.
Oh, that's cool.
I know, I'm like, okay, good. I didn't know that you could actually get a job with an anthropology major.
That's a clever way to sneak away in there.
Like, anthropology is a philosophy minor.
Right. Well, it was so funny, you know, she started as a business major, and then she happened, she goes, I think I want to change my major to anthropology. I was like, what does one do with an anthropology major? So, she loves it, though. She's crazy passionate about it.
It's great.
Probably Sebastian has me up for a trek, so.
How the heck he get up here?
Quick route.
All right, so we have five desert bighorn sheep.
Ooh.
These guys are also endangered. Earlier we talked about the species survival program. You guys asked if we do any breeding here. These ladies were part of that breeding program. Pre-COVID, we had males that were brought into here and they did several breedings. We have not had any since COVID. Our females are actually very well represented genetically because they did such a great job out here. So they're giving it a break to make sure their genes aren't over-populated here. But my background is hoofstock, so this is my passion. I love these ladies, but we've got five. Our oldest is Sierra, and I think she's like 12. But yeah, they just hang out here. There's one down there as well.
Oh.
Well, look at you, friend.
Oh, look here, a big
just
horn.
You know,
big horn.
You know, Eddie watched the construction of a casino out in the desert, and his job was to make sure he didn't see any of those. And if they saw one, they had to shut down everything.
Why?
They were trying to make sure it was like environmentally okay to put this casino here.
Oh, where?
Out in the Palm Springs, yeah, Palm Desert. He said he never saw one.
So they could have been halfway building the thing and saw one and like, oh, okay.
And that'll shut it down.
Oh, jeez.
Did they pay him to say he never found one?
He said he never saw one.
What were you going to say? I cut you off. You're in mid-inspiration.
No, I have no inspiration.
Our mountains are going to be off the ramp. The volunteer is in there. You'll hear them later. And when they come off, so we've got a volunteer here, which means our mountain lions.
This is where they keep Bobcat Goldthwait. Right? Yeah, cool. Right? I'm sure everybody says that. I had to say it, though.
Sorry, they are not out. We do not be free contact with our mountain lions.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
Oh, up there.
Our bobcats are up there. I think it's just going to be Coco today. She's on the very top hill up there.
The mountain lions aren't. She's not hanging out with
them. She's not.
Oh, cool.
You see him?
Mm-hmm.
Where do they go right now?
So
that's great. The ledges they got for them.
Oh, the cage up there?
No, that's actually the shortcut keepers. But just around the side right there, you see a little bit of an indent.
Oh, yeah.
That is the back denning area. And then behind this rock over here, straight ahead, is another den area. So in the back, there are several different locking mechanisms to make sure that animals are taken off of exhibit for people's safety.
Right.
We have what we call a tag in, tag out system where only certain keepers have certain locks so that nobody can accidentally unlock if somebody were to be what we call on enclosure. So if somebody were to open up the mountain lions right now, Miss Volunteer over here would not last very long.
Oh boy.
So we have a locking mechanism where nobody could actually unlock without a partner to make sure that something isn't on exhibit.
That's a good idea.
We do the same thing with bears as well. You have to have it in pairs, and there has to have somebody on the outside who can visually say,
I do not
see any bears. You are green light, good to go.
All right.
So later, if you come back down here, they will be out here. You might hear Sage. She does this like rah, rah, rah thing. And
mountain lion?
Yeah. We have three mountain lions.
Do you have lions? Like big main lions? Or what are they called?
We do not have African lions. Yeah, those are the
main ones. That's what I was
thinking. Yes. We have three mountain lions. They're very, very large. Those other ones are not native to California. All right, guys. Our last session is going to bring us into the coast room. Did you get a chance? Did you guys get to see the coast room when you were in there?
No.
We did last year.
Okay. Well,
we'll just open
just
up the gates.
Off.
Yeah. So we'll open it for you.
We'll open it. Last year the jellyfish. We didn't have jellyfish either.
Oh.
So now we have jellyfish in there.
That's exciting.
Coast, oh, it's all aquatic stuff.
Yeah. We'll head back.
For the kids on the ocean, huh?
Yes. I have a dog on the ocean. I know. So normally we have water running through all of this. We had to shut it all off because of HPAI. So we have this. Based off of our irrigation, we have to have this pond, but normally we have water running through the thing. That's the highly pathogenic avian influenza. That's the disease we talked about over by the bears that was killing all the chickens.
Oh.
Yeah, so we had to do a lot of mitigation here to make sure that.
This is a natural creek.
You're right, you're right.
Yeah, so we pull from the river. They have the river down here. They built it in the 80s.
Oh my gosh.
Uh-huh.
So what do you mean they pulled it? Like?
So the way they have it set up is they have piping systems that will pull the things through.
So you're allowed to have a natural creek, but not a. Not whatever
you're going to want. Which we limit on man-made. We had to keep this on because it's part of our irrigation system.
Just the ones that are on the playground can be taken out.
I'll
check in about Piper here. Actually, I have not heard anything about Piper yet. So
I think Sharon was in there.
Is she?
Yes. That's what we heard. So we've moved away from there to give us some privacy.
Yeah, I believe so.
Thank you so much for that extraordinary
tour.
You're
welcome. And then if you guys want to head back, I'll show you the coast room.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm going to bring you full circle so you know where you're at.
I think it's always easier to get those steps in when you got such, you know, when you got that motivation to walk around to see awesome things. You know, you just kind
of
lose
it. Yeah.
Get lost in it. Thank you.
You're welcome. If you go into your left, that behind those curtains over there, you go to your left and go around on each
day. Ooh. I love seahorses.
So cool.
Whoa, dude. Moon jelly, look at these freaking jellyfish. Oh my gosh, they're making me so squeamish. It's like intestines just floating around. Oh my gosh, these things these things have thoughts and ideas. And
it's like a screensaver.
Look at the resolution.
It totally is a screensaver.
Look at the resolution of that video.
Yeah, man. Whoa, man.
Wow. Those will fuck you up too, huh?
Dude, yeah.
I'm not
going
to see everything here, but this is a sea anemone.
Oh boy, whoa.
Take two fingers and you do a quick little touch. You're going to see that they're going to feel kind of like tape. And what they do, that's how they get their food. So they'll have brine shrimp, different things like that. They'll feel it on their tentacles, and then they'll bring it in and things like that.
What is this kind of fish? What is
this? This is an anemone. A sea anemone. We have a sea cucumber in here somewhere. And a couple of sea stars.
What is that? On the wall.
Whoa.
I have no idea.
Whoa.
It's a big slug.
It really is like a slug. Whoa, man.
Keep your
amenities
close.
Yeah.
That's right.
I am a host back there, so I'm like, I don't know what that does.
So how do you guys have the feet put like food in here?
So the keepers go through, they have different kinds of brine shrimp, different things like that they will sprinkle in directly onto the different animals in different areas so they can go find them.
Interesting.
That is a sea cucumber back here, this orange thing right there.
So what?
It's a sea cucumber.
That
right. Oh. Yeah.
And then we have several snails, mussels, you can see along
this
here.
This is something right here. This thing's moving fast.
What is that with those tentacles? That's interesting.
We have the same thing as that, yeah. Isn't that?
What the heck?
It's like a clam. A big ass clam.
Oh my god. Ooh, a little
it's
crab.
Like a sea snail, isn't
it? Dude.
What do we call it? Escargot.
Oh my gosh.
That's a decanter crab. We're going to find a whole list over here, but hopefully maybe that's a keeper.
Whoa.
This thing's moving around too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, look at there's one.
And this thing seems to have little, like, wispy things on it. I saw, like, floating around.
Yeah.
Looks like it's like a rock, but it's.
Yeah.
It's got little
totally
arms.
Right.
Yeah, it's like.
Yeah.
Right here, look on this side. It's
ooh,
like
yeah.
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 See, watch. See the little white tube looking thing?
Right, yeah.
Watch a bunch of tentacles come out.
I will find out what it is. We have a list.
That'd be interesting to know if it's just hiding inside of there or if it's actually part of its house. Or both.
See, there it goes. See the little tentacles?
Oh, yeah, there they are.
Yeah.
It's like stretching.
We should do it again.
Yeah. Like little whiskers. Ooh, and then a starfish.
That brings us full circle, so.
This is great. Thank you.
You guys are very welcome.
This is so good.
If it helps to know what you guys are playing for, your funds are directly fundraising for us and Camp Keep. So you got to see Calm, but Camp Keep is a program that we send sixth graders to on the ocean. There's Camp Keep Sierra and Camp Keep Ocean. We send sixth graders there for an entire week where they're out all day long learning about the ecology, really just getting kids out of the classroom. So you guys being out here is benefiting us, being able to send those kiddos out. And then when they can't go to those camps for a week, we get to bring them here.
Thank you,
this is great. So cool. Great tour. Oh my gosh, this is all so fascinating. Incredible. Great tour, huh? Thanks for sticking around. This has been another episode of Inspirato Projecto. Zowie! Now, isn't that incredible? What a great meandering about the California Living Museum. How astounding was that? So much great information. Were you as surprised about the raccoons as I was? I didn't know that. Didn't know that about raccoons. By the way, Alex Basile, who loves the raccoons. She's the merch girl. I like to call her Furiosa. And her boyfriend is Street Dog, who does all the backline stuff, sometimes drum tech. And she's the one who loves the raccoons. And I've interviewed her about train hopping. So keep her eyes peeled about that train hopping episode, which I may put down in the description. I might put that hyperlink down there for you. What we have here is a very very interesting. This is today's sponsor, Christor Inc. And this is the promo for their latest products, and I hope you enjoy it. And after that, we've got a couple other items on the docket that we're saying goodbye. One of which is Blythe Baines. So, without further ado, here's Christor Inc.
When you're lost, who do you want to find you? In what form does this creature manifest? And at what time in the night does he come for you? Every year, millions of hardworking Americans experience cosmic encounters with moderate to severe disorientation. Christor can help. Christor is a handheld calcite defibrillator capable of generating surges and binary distress signals throughout the Sigma Quadrant. Christor is not for everyone. Some aquatic mammals have experienced dizziness and confusion while using Christor. Side effects do include blood glow, tear mist, and purpling of the skin and eyes. Tell your doctor if you are pregnant and have not had intercourse within the past 18 months, or if you are nursing and have no children of your own. Christor has not been approved for simians or micropachyderms. Ask your shaman if Christor is right for you. Isn't it your turn to bear the crystal?
By the way, I just wanted to say thank you so much, Henry D. Horace, for contributing that fun fact. Did you, dear listener, know that about dogs? Did you know that they were that intelligent? I mean, we've seen some really smart ones. I've seen sheepdogs just, like, read your mind. So, what are your thoughts about Christor? Christor Inc. Have you gone on their website yet? ChristorInc.com. ChristorInc.com. I'm putting their website in the description as well. This thing is chock full of as many links as I can lead people to. I love the Easter eggs. This is sometimes why it takes me a little bit of time to put up a podcast, because I want to make it thorough. I want to put it all in there. So thank you for listening to this episode. Christor Inc., let me just say, is an alternate reality game. I talked earlier about Mesmer and Braid. I got intel that Steve Peters and Nick Tears from Mesmer and Braid had met and worked with some of the members of Christor Inc., which are connected to the Jejun Institute, which is connected to the Latitude Society. I think it's called Greenview Road. If you go to ChristorInc.com, follow the rabbit hole, you'll come across a movie called Greenview Road, and it ties in with the Institute documentary movie, Dispatches from Elsewhere TV show. It all ties in. It's all part of this big world. And Christor Inc. has plugged into that myth. It's very intriguing. So has the Varels Bridge Society. And as promised, I'm leaving that link with that video that I did meeting Corporal 13, and then the interview was crashed by a member of Christorch, which is their alter, what do they call them? Arch-nemesis? So the interview was crashed. But, all right, thank you so much to Blythe Baines for closing out this show. And by the way, dear listener, thank you for listening. If you ever want to leave a message on the voicemail hotline, it is 561-203-9179. 561-203-9179. And you too can contribute. Also, if you are big into SOS and you know how to translate that, keep your ears peeled. After Blythe Bane ends. If you want, you don't have to stick around, but there might be something fun. All right, take care.
This is Blythe Baines, and you're listening to Inspirato Projecto.
New update. Blythe Baines
Spotify. Links will be added to the description.
Hello? Hello, is it Saigon? Hello? Hello? Hello, is it Saigon? Is it working? Hello? This is Atlas the Dragon. Atlas the Dragon. Texas Ambassador for the Vorelspa Bridge Society. I have a message that is very important. We have had a Clarice sighting here in Texas, and we need your help. I have a very important message. Listen closely, and you shall be rewarded with great, great success. Crystal will grant you access to so much knowledge in the universe. So here's your message.
Goodness, you're still here. So were you able to translate the Morse code signal? There's some Morse code going on in there. They left that on the voicemail about a year ago. And Atlas the Dragon connected with Christor Inc. and the Vorelspa Bridge Society, of course. I'm going to put links to my interview. Oh my gosh. I mean this could be crazy. All right, I'm going to do it. I'm going to put in my links to my interviews with Wiley Herman, the director of Grandview Boulevard. I believe it's Grandview Boulevard. Wiley Herman, I'll put my interview with him. I think I had two interviews with him. And then also Spencer McCall. Spencer McCall is the man who directed the documentary, The Institute, which is what the Dispatches from Elsewhere TV show is based on. That's what they're talking about in there, the Jejun Institute. This was an alternate reality game that appeared all over San Francisco, and it got, like, really, like... It turned your entire environment into a video game, basically. It encouraged people to explore their surroundings and follow mysterious paintings and whatnot. So I'll put the links to those interviews as well. So you could just keep going down these rabbit holes, discovering this stuff. It's a whole thing of wonderment, you know? Humans are just animals. What do they say in Animal Farm? Four legs good, two legs bad. I think if we just get more in touch with that animal nature, we'd start to be able to solve a lot more riddles, mysteries. Study the growth. Study the environment of that growth. Study the food of that growth. And you... Ye, mon frere, shall find the truth. Who planted it? What is it? What feeds it? What's the environment? What's its influences? We talk about this all the time, right? You are what you eat. Anyway, thank you for listening to Inspirato Projecto. And possibly the next episode is going to feature an interview with a man named Frank, a veteran that I met outside of a hotel that Yachtly Crew was staying at the night of a show we had, which I cannot remember where that was. We've been going all over the place. We're leaving tomorrow. What is it? Tomorrow, the 4th, for Albuquerque, New Mexico, and then zipping right over to Arizona. So, anyway, hope all's well. Take care.
I can't believe it, of course I can. I shall receive it, I won't force the plan. I tried to leave it, but I'm on course again. I can't believe it, but of course I can. I have tripped and stumbled, flipped my script and mumbled, grimaced and I have grumbled. I tried to leave it, but I'm on course again. I can't believe it, but of course I can. I've lost my grip and crumbled, unraveled and unbundled, got dizzy and disgruntled. Here I am now, humbled. I've gotten too excited, riding to walls collided. But how now can I fight it when I'm divinely guided? Whoa. I can't believe it, but
update. Wishing to float. Link now added to description.